Aloha from the Garden Island of Kauai, and welcome to KKCR's Talk Story Series, dedicated to sharing the music of Hawaii. Ernie Cruz reached the shores of Oahu in 1957 as a young man in search of his roots. Firmly grounded in a tradition of country music, Ernie quickly became a part of the local music scene in Hawaii and traveled throughout the islands, helping to build the foundations of what would later become known as Paniolo music. In addition to creating his own musical legacy as the Waimea Cowboy, many of his very talented children have become some of the most popular artists in Hawaiian contemporary music. Join KKCR Hawaiian music programmer Linda Lester and Ernie Cruz as they talk story.
Good morning, Linda.
It's so nice to have you here, Ernie.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about when you first became interested in music.
I was really young. I used to listen to the Grand Opera. We had a big old radio in our house, and I'd just sit and listen on Saturday evenings to the Grand Opera, and I just learned songs. And my dad, there was one little bar in the little town I grew up in, about 190 people, and there was a group called the Maddox Brothers and Rose. They were kind of like original country group. And they played there every Friday and Saturday night. So my dad would take me over there when I was 6, 7 and get me up to sing, and I'd just sing. If I didn't do what he told me to do, well, he'd correct me. So, yeah, I started like that.
You came from a large family?
We had 15 kids, actually, and grew up on a farm. All the things that go with farming, you know, raising your own food and everything.
And did you have instruments in your home? And
no.
Is that something that you did?
No, nobody else played music except, I mean, my dad sang, you know, Bing Crosby, that kind of stuff back in those days, all good music. But he never played no instruments.
How old were you when you started playing guitar?
Probably, I think I was about 11. We had a fella that, back then they called him Hobos, lived in our barn, and he played a guitar, and so Mom would always cook for whoever the ranch hands were, and so I'd take food out to him, and he was always playing a guitar, so I used to just sit and watch him, and he taught me D chord, and that was it. I just took off from D chord and just kept asking people.
When did you start your first band?
My brother-in-law's, my family, on one of my brother-in-law's side. They're all from Oklahoma and Texas, and actually they all grew up playing music, his mom and them, with the Carter family. And so I just used to play music with them mostly. And then with the house bands in the valley at that time around Modesto, they had all the country superstars, Marty Robbins and Webb Pierce, Lefty Frizzell, all them guys were playing in that area in those days. I was there every Friday and Saturday night from when I was like 14. I'd won a talent contest when I was 13, and Webb Pierce was the judge, and I won. And then they just started taking me around to the dance halls. Would throw me in a motel room or in a van or something. 11 o'clock at night, that was the law, and I'd wait till they were done and would go down the road.
That's quite an opportunity for a 14-year-old boy to win the talent contest in California and be traveling around with these big bands. And
oh, yeah.
Big stars in country music.
Yeah. Especially Marty Robbins. I do love him. Jimmy Dickens, Tommy Collins. Everybody that lived in that little town where I was at, they were all from Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas. And so they just played country, and a lot of people lived in tents in them days, you know, in the summer when they'd harvest fruit. A lot of folks had come out with all their mattresses tied on the cars and the fenders and the running boards. And so it was kind of like seeing family every summer and spring when they'd come out for the harvest season. And so they just played country music. I didn't think there was any other kind.
I was working in Miami for a day or two. I decided I'd look up a girl that I once knew. So I bought some flowers and went to see a girl I used to know. The lady at her door said she had married long ago. Times will change and towns will change. There I was alone. Suddenly I wondered, would Susie be at home? So with the flowers in my hand, I walked towards her gate. Someone touched me on the arm and said, you'll have to wait. Then I noticed there were people standing in a line. Some of them were holding pretty flowers just like mine. She had been the girl that I had always gone to see. When someone that I cared for had been untrue to me. As I walked into her room, I felt a sense of shame. Hey, then I heard Susie whisper, "Ern, I'm awfully glad you came." So did... Oh, I forgot how it went. So I handed her the flowers, and then she gently kissed my hand. She said, "Don't be embarrassed. Hey, I know you'll understand." So I said goodbye, and as I bent to kiss her fevered brow, I heard her whisper, "Thank you for the second-handed flowers." Yes, times will change and towns will change. There I was alone, and suddenly I wondered, could Susie be at home? Oh, she had been the girl that I had often gone to see. When someone that I cared for had been untrue to me. Yeah.
Tell us how you first came to Hawaii.
My dad had died in 1954, and we lived on a farm, and Mom sold the farm and moved to town, and I couldn't handle town, so I asked her permission. I went back to a couple of farmers I knew and worked in the labor camps. I drove tractor and stuff till I was 16, and then I always wanted to go to where my dad came from, Guam. So I just asked to be sent to Guam. Well, they sent me to Hawaii. I joined the Marine Corps in 1956, January, and I came to Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station in April of 57, I think it was. That's how I got to Hawaii. Kind of been here ever since. In the old days, in 57, 58, they had a place down in Waikiki by Fort Drusy called the Palm Tree Inn, and Gabby and Sonny and all the old-timers all sang there. A lady by the name of Lena Alahaili, her and her husband took me around to the different islands to play the first-time country music. Flew me over, and then I think I made 25 a night, which was great. In those days, that's great.
Why is Hawaii a special place for you?
I always wanted to know. My dad would tell stories about when he was growing up in Guam as a boy, swimming in the ocean and diving and stuff. And nobody did that up there in the rivers and stuff, you know. So he would dive, but I was always afraid of the rivers. But he would dive, and people would see him diving, and he didn't have a mask or snorkel, and he just made his own spears and would always come up with fish. I just wanted to go and see what it was like to grow up on an island, get to understand what his life was like. That's how I got out here. In the Marine Corps, they ask you a couple of choices you want, whether or not you get them, but I just put to any island anywhere on earth. I just want to go to an island. And so they sent me here. It wasn't a state then, but it was still Hawaii. I got a good friend. He's from Palau, and I think I've got to know about my dad more through him than with my dad, because when I was growing up as a kid, you didn't hang around the grown-ups unless you was the guy assigned to bringing them coffee or a glass of wine or whatever they needed. And they didn't talk with kids. It was just kind of funny. Yeah. So I never really knew a lot about him.
Your son John talked to us about playing with your band as a small boy. Tell us a little bit about your earliest memories of bringing Ernie Jr. and John to your gigs.
I was working at the Naniloa in Hilo at the Ho'omali Mali Bar, and Ernie just graduated. So I called him and asked him what he's doing. He said nothing. So he came, and then I flew one of my nephews about the same age from California, and there was a fellow named Chip Douglas. I don't know if you've ever run across Chip Hallett. He was Linda Ronstadt's manager and producer at that time. But we all became friends and had a band, and so Ernie came and played some bass with me and sang some harmony. And my first wife and I, we separated, and so I had the boys with me, just not fighting over them, but to help her. So they came and went to school for a couple of years on the Big Island. And so I'd get them gigs. They'd play out, sit outside and play on the sidewalk over in Conan and make them money and never made them sing. Just always ask them, you want to jam? Yeah, we'll come up and just cheer for them.
They're great musicians.
Yes, they sure are.
Lots of talent in your family. How many children do you have?
I have 7 daughters and 5 sons. They're all talented. Desiree, you might know Des. She was Miss Hawaii, my second oldest girl in, I forget what year, 88 or something like that. And she's a wonderful performer, too. All of them perform. They all write. And not because I'm their dad, but they're all they're winners. As people, they're precious.
What does Paniolo music mean to you?
Oh, it's just the way I grew up, really. With all the people I grew up with, they were like the original first generation of term they used in those days. If you're from Oklahoma, Okies and Arkies. And we were the only non-white family in that town, but it was nice. Everybody was nice to us because there was a lot of stuff in those days. Country music, you wasn't white, you didn't sing in those places, but they squeezed me in somehow. I guess because I was a little boy. Actually, my brother took me. I wanted to see Webb Pierce. They were having that contest, and one of my brothers took me in, and then third contestant, Webb Pierce, said, we have our third contestant, a young boy by the name of Ernie Cruz. And I turned to my brother, and I said, Ben, there's somebody else named Ernie Cruz. He said, no, that's you. I said, oh, no, you're kidding me. I ain't going up there, but I did. And then I won the talent contest and went on national TV for 7 weeks. And then they just started taking me on tour with them. Never got any money. My dad told me, don't take money. You just sing. And I said, okay. So that's what I did. But they took care of me, fed me. And in those days, you know, they'd buy you a half pint of whiskey and a pack of cigarettes and say, be a man, boy. I've written a couple about the cowboys through the years, and this one is called Paniolo Love. I'll try to do that. Let me see. Oh, riding on the open range made me feel so fine. Just you and me on my old paint, checking out that old fence line. Then right into a misty rain, way up on a mountain so high. Is a time I will never forget, 'cause it's forever on my mind. Paniolo love will last forever. Hey, Paniolo love is here to stay. My Paniolo love is for you only. It's yours for all eternity. Oh, those sunny days I still recall. Oh, just like those moonlit nights when we would hug and kiss and hold on to each other so tight. Then hand in hand in the Hapuna sands, hey, what a joy we did share. Just like my Paniolo love, for you it will always be there. Hey, Paniolo love will last forever. Oh, Paniolo love is here to stay. My Paniolo love is for you only. It's yours for all eternity. Hey, Paniolo love will last forever. Oh, Paniolo love is here to stay. My Paniolo love, for you only. It's yours for all eternity. Goodness. I wrote one some years ago. Me and Keola Beamer went and hiked down the old stone trail on the Big Island. There's a portion of the trail left out there in the district of Kau, and they got big stones, and him and I went for about a week years ago, and I wrote this one here called Stone Trail Yodel.
Oh, there's an ancient stone trail down at Punalu by the sea that's been walked by many, including my friend Mr. K and me. Such a wonderful feeling I felt, and everyone should see how the beauty of the landscape made a yodeler out of me. Oh, the waves are rolled so smoothly, and the mountains are so green. Trail is hot and dusty, but oh, the serenity. way out on the lava, a cool spring you're there to see. Yeah, the beauty of Hawaii made a yodeler out of me. Yeah, the waves are roll so smoothly and the mountains are so green. Trail is hot and dusty, but oh, the serenity. Way out on the lava, cool springs are there to see. Yeah, the beauty of Hawaii made a yodeler out of me. Oh, the beauty I've been singing of is out in Kau. Oh, if you ever have a chance, and you should walk here too. When your journey's over, then I know that you will see how the beauty of Hawaii made a yodeler out of me. Hey, I left Hilo Town, oh, to go to Molokai. Oh, to play some music for the folks in Kanakakai. There we drank whiskey, Okoli, Howe, and gin. There I saw Molokai cowboys riding in the wind. Oh, Molokai cowboys riding in the wind. I hope someday that I go back again. So I'll just smile and say aloha until then. Yeah, the Molokai cowboys riding in the wind. Oh yes, the Maui cowboys, well, they came to rope and ride to once again show their Paniola pride. Well, I know someday that I'll go back again. See the Molokai cowboys riding in the wind. Oh, Molokai cowboys riding in the wind. I hope someday that I go back again. So I'll just smile and say aloha until then. Yeah, the Molokai cowboy is riding in the wind. Yodelay, yodelay, yeah, yodelay.
Who would you like to play music with today?
Any of my children.
Like to jam with John and Ernie and...
Yeah, any of them.
Guy and Connie.
Yeah, and all the rest of the guys are great, too. But I've jammed with a lot of the other guys, but that's my priority. If you're listening, boys, I work cheap.
Are you still writing new songs?
Yeah, I wrote a couple the other night. Kind of haven't written for a while, but yeah, you get in those moods, and I'm in a mood to write, so I'll be writing some for a while. More way under 100 sellers, I always like to say.
Tell us a little bit about your family of musicians.
Well, all of my kids, they perform. My oldest daughter, Ernelle Duty, her nickname is. She's written quite a few songs that the artists sing. And then, of course, Desiree. Des sings a lot. I don't know, you ever hear Desiree or see her perform? Yeah, she does a great job. And then I've been married 3 times. My first wife, we had 7 children, Ernie, John. And then my second wife, we had 2 children. And my present wife, we've been together 27 years. We have 3 daughters. And they all perform. My wife homeschooled our 3 youngest girls and taught them music, everything. We traveled and played music. So I just started doing country again about 2 years ago. I just had to get straight. And so it's really wonderful being able to see, especially Hawaii. The first time I came home to the Big Island after I'd quit doing all the stuff one does, I just cried like a little baby. I drove around the Big Island. I took about 3 days by myself and just, I couldn't believe it was so beautiful. I'd lived there for 20 years, but I was more dead than I was alive.
Were you surprised by the level of success reached by John and Ernie Jr. in their music careers?
I've always told them anytime they perform, people work all week and save their money and they want to go out and have a good time. So when they step on the stage, sing to them. Don't mess around. Just sing to them, you know, from your heart, or get off. I never thought if they would be big stars or whatever. I've never thought of that about myself. It's just one gig to the next, you know. You just put your best foot forward and sing.
What age did you buy them a guitar, or did you do that?
Ernie was the first one. I sent him to some guitar lessons. I think he only went to two of them. The guy bent his fingers or something. It was in Kaimuki. And then he just started learning from other guys in Troy. We were all neighbors, me and their dads and moms and the Hinus. And for a while, all the musicians were from Palolo Valley, a lot of the good ones. They just learned by sitting around listening, and they learned more from their friends than they did from me. But if I went to see them play and they were messing up, I'd just go up and whisper to them, "I'm going to grab you by the ankle and yank you off if you don't get it right." So not the technical aspect, but the heart. Because no matter how good you are, you're going to hit a bad note now and then. So I've never listened to them that way. I just always listen to my boys, my sons or daughters. I retired from the Marine Corps. I was 100% disabled through the military after Vietnam. And so I just worked, but I drank hard, but I loved them. And just things happened because of the way I was. To them, I always just loved them and took care of them like any dad. You know, you just thought you had to work day and night. And if I ever could do it again, I'd work less and spend more time with them. We don't get together that often, but a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we got together and John was the only one missing. We did a show at the Palace Theater in Gila that recorded it.
Is there a family song in your family where you just all get to sit there and sit down and you'll just all play that song?
Will the Circle Be Unbroken? It's an old country gospel song. We always sing that.
Well, I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day. I said, "Undertaker, hey, please drive slow, for that lady you are holding, good Lord knows how I hate to see her go. Whoa, will the circle be unbroken?
What kinds of things do you do to relax?
I like to do things for my wife. There's dirty dishes or clothes, I just go do them. And I wasn't always like that. Women, you know, when you got a little girl, how you just love her, and even the dads, "Oh, it's my precious little girl." Well, men, we as men need to treat our ladies like that and just spoil them as best you can. I had to learn that. I wasn't a bad guy, I just wasn't no good.
You still fishing today?
Oh, yeah. I ulua fish. I enjoy taking people. So John comes over sometime, and Randy Lorenzo and some of those guys. I always invite musicians to come, and then I just cook for them, and I set all the poles and act like a tour guide and just take care of them, let them take it easy. And just if a fish gets on the line, then I call to tell them, get him. Yeah, I love to, more than fish, just be by the water. You see a lot of things when you're there as much as I go. So that's what I like to do. I just like to take people and treat them to a fishing trip.
You live close to where the lava is coming out into the ocean, too.
Right, yeah. I live about probably 3 miles as a crow flies. I've had some cinder land on top of my house when it was erupting years ago, big. Not red hot ones, of course, but like here, the houses are all galvanized. So you're clink, 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 clink. And all my chickens were walking like German soldiers, deflated. That's a unique thing to see, no matter how many times you see it. The renewing of the earth, as it were, huh? The old sinking in and coming out new.
Do you ever sit and play music when you can see the lava fountains?
Out at Kalapana, when it first went off, the boys was living. I mean, we was camped out there, and there was a rock wall along. There used to be a big pond and nice sand in there, and then up on the lava little hill they had a cross, and the big black sand beach was over there on the left. And the boys was sitting on that wall, and that wall was about 4 foot tall, and that side of the island just sunk when it went off. That rock wall was about even with the road. The boys were sat down and went singing again. Yeah, next time you get a chance, talk to him, he'll tell you. We used to camp a lot. We had a house, and they went to school, but the longest we camped was 3 months. I'd just go in on the weekends, take them with me, and get a couple extra rooms at the hotels on Maui or wherever I was playing, and take them with me, and we'd just go.
How does it feel to be known as a father of a great music ohana?
I'm blessed that my kids love it, and they do a great job. They just sing from the deepest part of their heart, girls and the boys. I just enjoy it. I used to work construction with the Pahnuis, and then we'd play music in Waikiki, and they did, and so we all knew each other. And his boys, Blah and Sarah and them, used to come by sometime when I was in Waikiki. And then, of course, on the job after, you know.
You had a string of local hits in the 70s, and affectionately are known as the Waimea Cowboy.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that period of success.
It was kind of the lowest time of my life, personally for me. So I just sang a lot to stay busy. And I used to go to Waimea, drank with all the cowboys all the time, all the ranchers. We were all friends. And a couple of brothers named Kalani and, not Kalani, but Marcus and Sanford Schutte. And Marcus wrote Paniolo Country. I don't know if you've ever heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
And the same weekend, I wrote Waimea Cowboy just about them. So it was just from spending a lot of time up there, and I was just up there last week. I hadn't played up there for years, and it was mostly all the grandsons, you know, they'd coming up, talking. It was special.
Waimea is a beautiful, beautiful part of the Big Island.
So oh, yeah.
I remember the nice velvety hills. There's a nice rodeo ground out there, too.
Yeah, Parker Ranch, yeah.
Yeah. Did you work as a Paniolo at any time?
No, never did.
You did a little bit of rodeo, though.
Yeah. It did me. I probably yeah, it was fun. You know, you just do crazy things. So I enjoyed it. Uh-huh. Riding bulls, they rode me mostly, but it was fun.
Those guys are mean.
Yeah. They're better on the plate next to rice.
Way out in the middle of the ocean, there's an island that sits all alone. It's a home of the Waimea Cowboy, a breed of which is only one. Singing I, Waimea Cowboy, a breed of which is only one. I, Waimea Cowboy, cowboy is second to none. From the snow-covered top of Mauna Kea to the beautiful beaches below. Oh, they ride across the beds of green grasses from sun up till the sun sinks down low. Singing I, Waimea Cowboy, a breed of which is only one. Cowboy, cowboy is second to none. Japanese cowboys are riding, Portuguese cowboys ride too. Hawaiian cowboys, Hawaiian cowboys so true. Singing I, Waimea Cowboy, a breed of which is only one. I, Waimea Cowboy, cowboy is second to none. The home that I sing of is Hawaii, truly a place in the sun. And the cowboys I sing of are Hawaiian. Yes, sir, cowboys, and they're second to none. Singing I, Waimea Cowboy, a breed of which is only one. I, Waimea Cowboy, cowboy is second to none. Yes, sir, cowboys, second to none.
Tell me about the connections between Hawaiian music and country music.
It's really family-oriented, because most Hawaiian homes you go to, there's a ukulele at least. And in country homes, as it were, country people, country music lovers, there's always a mandolin or a banjo, a tub bass or something that is there. And so that similarity, not that all music don't come to the hearts of those that play, but it's a lot of growing up around, and that's kind of the entertainment you have growing up, huh? All family and friends, kani kapila, as it were, or jamming.
Kind of naturally organic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the combination of like Hawaiians, flat key combo, and when they pick country, it's unique. People in Nashville and all across the country, they just flip out when they hear, you know, guys like Nedward, Ciro, and those guys, they go and they play at the different music festivals. They just get a phenomenal response. Hawaii is a magic word. In the 70s, I was touring the West Coast states, 11 Western states, and I was home basing out of Issaquah, Washington, out of Seattle, and the Indian and the white man were kind of fighting over the salmon rights, and a couple of each had been shot. Well, I had hair way down here, and my cowboy boots, everybody always thought I was Indian, and I'm a little bit Indian, but I'm half Chamorro Guamanian. One time I was out in the middle of the wheat fields of Oregon, and I stopped in this little town, and you could see the people in the restaurant. There was only one restaurant, so I went in, and they all just kind of looked at me as like a movie, you know. And then I walked up to the bar and I asked for a beer and a shot. And the lady said, no. And I said, are you out? She said, no, we don't serve Indians. And I said, you don't what? And she said, we don't serve Indians. And I said, well, by golly, I'm glad I'm a Hawaiian. And it just totally changed. I left there with a basket of fried chicken and biscuits. And actually, I was looking for a handout. Guitar got me another one, but anyway.
I bet you got lots of stories like that.
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. I've just always got along with everybody. You just got to decide you want to get along with people and get along with them. Music's a wonderful thing. You can fight your way into a bar and then get up and sing, and if they like you when you leave, they're your friends. I wrote another one back in 90. They had a big flood in California. We was watching the news, and there was a dog on a roof, a two-story house, and the water was just about to get him. And the KCRA TV out of Sacramento, the helicopter pilots went down and rescued that dog, and I wrote a song about that. I had the recorder going, so I called the TV station. I said, I just wrote a song. I just saw that dog on the news. Who can I get it to? He said, well, our news people are in Modesto right now filming some of the flood there, the bridges that were flooded out. Take it down there and maybe someone will listen to it. So I took it down, and I was going up in the elevator, and I turned to this guy and I said, you know where I can find the guys from KCRA? He said, what do you want them for? I said, well, I got a song I just wrote about that dog. And I wanted to give it to him. He said, well, I'm the guy. I said, oh, you are? I said, well, here, listen to it. So I didn't know, but I left and I was going to, I think, Kingman, Arizona or somewhere. But my wife called me and she said, honey. I said, did you watch the evening world news? I said, no. She said, well, they were showing the flood and showing when they captured that dog and they were playing that song in the background, you know. So you got worldwide exposure for, you know, of course, nothing ever happened. But it was an exciting time for everything just to kind of fall in line like that. We had a fire in Puna, and so I went over there to help, and this old couple was standing there, and so after the fire got kind of put out, I said, where are you folks from? They said, we're from California. I said, oh, where? He said, up by Sacramento, and it was their house that was on TV that had been flooded, and I'd never met them, and I'd told them that I'd wrote that song about rodeo, watching the TV on the news. Oh, go, rodeo, go, well, it won't be long, you know. There's a mercy flight, it's on its way. Don't be overcome by fear or fright. With all four paws, just hold on tight. Go, rodeo, go, rodeo, go. Well, the raging flood was all around, and rodeo couldn't see the ground, and he wondered, where has everybody gone? There's all those big birds up in the sky, and they just keep passing me by. Hey, something ain't right. There's something wrong. Well, rodeo sat there all day and night, and early next morning at the break of light, he heard a familiar buzz from above. Well, in that chopper on that bright day was Ron and Captain Kidd from KCRA, and their hearts for rodeo was filled with love. Oh, go, rodeo, go, well, it won't be long, you know. There's a mercy flight, and it's on its way. Don't be overcome by fear or fright. With all four paws, just hold on tight. Go, rodeo, go, rodeo, go. Well, they looked at each other, and then Ron said, if we don't get him now, he'll soon be dead. So Captain Kidd dropped that chopper from the sky.
Ron reached and he grabbed old Rodeo with a grip that just would not let go. And from that rooftop, Chapel Tree did fly. Well, they held a news conference that next day and asked old Rodeo what he had to say. And his owners said, "That's my dog, and oh, he's tough." As Rodeo sat with that familiar stare, with folks watching him from everywhere, he said it was rough, 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 rough. Oh, go, Rodeo, go, well, it won't be long, you know. There's a mercy flight, and it's on its way. Don't be overcome by fear or fright. With all four paws, just hold on tight. Go, Rodeo, go, Rodeo, go.
One time I wrote one for my mom and called her in the fall in California. And I said, "How's everything going, Mom?" She said, "Oh, it's good." She said, "The leaves are starting to fall. It's starting to get a little chill in the air." And so I just wrote a song for her. And she always loved it. It's called "When the Leaves Begin to Fall."
Well, I've walked in the moonlight and I've cried in the rain. Oh, and I've listened to the wild birds' mating call. And the stars up above me, well, they made me think of you. So I'll be there when the leaves begin to fall. When the leaves begin, oh, to fall, I'll be there with you to walk hand in hand again. Just to be with you all would be a dream come true. So I'll be there when the leaves begin to fall. Hey, well, I sometime wonder too, if you think of me like I do you. And I wonder if you feel the way I do. Oh, well, Mom, I thought that I would say I love you more every day. So I'll be there when the leaves begin to fall. When the leaves begin, oh, to fall, I'll be there with you to walk hand in hand once again. Just to be with you, oh, would be a dream come true. So I'll be there when the leaves begin to fall. Oh, and I was there. Oh, when the leaves begin to fall.
Tell us a little bit about your start in radio. I understand you were affiliated with a radio station on Big Island.
Yeah, it was KFSH. I just went down to volunteer, and I'd just pull albums out and 8 tracks for Kavika, his name was. And then one morning he called me, and we'd go up and turn the transmitter on about 4:30, and then the station went on air at 5. He called and said he was in the hospital. And I said, "Oh, well, what are we going to do?" Because it was just me and him. The station was just starting. He said, "Well, just keep the phone and I'll tell you what to do." And so he said, "Just every half hour, say a station ID. Hi, this is Ernie Cruz. You're listening to da-da-da." So that's how I started. And then I shared one morning with him. I said, "You know, I'd sure like to buy a program now. Or what does it cost?" And he said, "Let me talk to some people." And so he came back the next day and he said, "How'd you like to do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week and get paid for it?" And I said, "Well, that's okay. Sounds good to me." I've never did this. He said, that's okay. And so I just started like that, like probably most of us in radio. And it was live, so it was always exciting for people to call and share their excitement and what have you.
Tell me about the community that you live in today.
Oh, it's special and unique, Pahoa, out in the district of Puna. It's just a mixture of a lot of different people searching for the same thing, happiness, but in different approaches. People get along, and so it's good. A lot of feeling of aloha. And you meet a lot of people, make a lot of lasting friends, and Puna really is special. Here is too. I lived here in 70 for a year, right down in Kapa'a by the canal there. They had an old little two-story hotel. It was called the Castaway Hotel. I don't know if it's even still there. I did everything there. I'd run in the evening when the sun set. I'd blow the conch shell and dress up like a Hawaiian native and run down and light the torches and then go in and put on my sport coat and tie and stand at the door and be the maitre d'. And then at 8 o'clock, I'd go up with my cowboy hat on and play music for 2 hours and then take the tourists back to the airport. Yeah, it was good.
What was it like in Kapa'a in those days?
Really nice. Small.
When you come back to Kauai today, what's your feeling about Kauai?
My thoughts when I come to Kauai, it was the people I met at that time and made friends with who were the hotel staff. There wasn't a big hotel, but we all became friends, you know, and go up the slippery slide, and they'd take me all around the local parts of the island, you know, so we had a good time. It's wonderful. Kauai is wonderful. I had this pastor friend of mine, and he was telling me a story. One day he went home, and he walked in his back door and saw his wife standing there hugging and kissing another guy. So, of course, it really broke his heart, and then he just turned around and walked out. And he was in his 70s then, and he told me a story, so I went off with him for about 3 days in the foothills and just spent some time with him. And that's when I wrote it, goes like this. And he never did tell her. I was with him when he died. I said, do you ever tell your wife you knew that? He said, no. He said, I just loved her.
Well, I saw you in your mirror looking at somebody new. I stood there in disbelief saying, oh, can this be true? And as I turned around to walk away, I thought I heard you call. So I just wanted to tell you why I need you most of all. Well, I need you like the roses, honey, need the falling rain. I need you like the sunshine when all the earth is green. And I need you like the rivers, honey, need the falling rain. But for now I need you most of all to heal this hurting pain. So I looked up towards heaven, and as I stared out there in space, well, I cried, oh Lord, I need to know, how can someone else erase? Oh, all the joy and the tenderness we've shared within our hearts. And as these words begin to come, the tears begin to start. Yes, I need you like the roses, honey, need the morning dew. I need you like the sunshine, sunset, when every day is through. And I need you like the rivers, honey, need the falling rain. But for now I need you most of all to heal this hurting pain.
I wrote one called A Song for Kaho'olawe when the Protect Kaho'olawe Ohana was active back in the 70s. I was invited by Lena Alahaili, went to Lahaina to the gym there, and Billy Mitchell and George Helm and all the guys were there that night singing. And then we all went over to Lanai, and they were going to go out to Molokini on surfboards and then come on across and go to Kaho'olawe, but they never made it. So we stayed there about 3 days, and I'll play that song.
Well, I just recently started thinking of Kaho'olawe, 'cause it's really, really new to me, you see. Although I'm not from your island, I'm from many miles away. Kaho'olawe still means the world to me. Oh, well, I headed for Lanai one Saturday morning to go and to listen and to see. Oh, just what was going on. And that's why I wrote this song. Kaho'olawe belongs to Hawaii. Oh, so give us back our island in the ocean. We're not pleading, we just want it back, you see. Oh, well, I know what's on your mind. Oh, but until the end of time, Kaho'olawe belongs to Hawaii. When I left Lanai, I really started wondering, oh, of what I saw and what I did see. Oh, of a people, oh, so strong, oh, who've been done so wrong. Kaho'olawe belongs to Hawaii. No, I would not take from you what you treasure, and I would not destroy the resting place of your people, you see. Oh, so try and understand, hey, why we want back our land. Kaho'olawe belongs to Hawaii. Also give us back our island in the ocean. We're not pleading, we just want it back, you see. Whoa, I know what's on your mind. Oh, but until the end of time, Kaho'olawe belongs to Hawaii. Kaho'olawe, hey, belongs to Hawaii.
Why is community and family important to you today?
Probably today more so than ever. Community, in lieu of people losing their jobs, wanting to be a volunteer, as it were, in the community in any way you can. And it's important. The way we're going to make it is by just helping each other now more than ever before, and not getting tired of people that ain't helping themselves. There's a few that they don't help themselves long enough, well, they'll be gone. But everybody wants to make it, really. They're not looking down at people. Stuff happens for whatever reason. They're out there on the street, they're out there, and if they want off, they can get off. But if you just keep closing the door on them, we just have a tendency to, you know, you just want to give up after a while, not care. And everybody's was somebody's little girl or little boy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us still have that in us. In Hawaii, even though someone might be humbug or kolohi or whatever, some cousin or somebody will put up with them for a couple of days before they ship them to the next cousin. That's super important, knowing that somebody cares.
Just like the sun over the mountaintop, you know I'll always come again. And you know I love to spend my morning time with sunlight dancing on your skin. never gone so wrong as a telling lies to you. Honey, what you see is what I've been. And there is nothing I can hide from you. You know me better than I can. Out on the road, oh, that lies before me now. Oh, there are some turns, oh, but I won't spin. And I only hope, oh, that you can hold me now. Till I can gain control again. Just like a lighthouse, honey, you must stand alone. Landmark the sailor's journey's end. And no matter what sea I go sailing on, I'll always row this way again. Out on the road, oh, that lies before me now. Oh, there are some turns, oh, that I won't spin. And I only hope, oh, that you can hold me now. Till I can gain control again.
KKCR would like to thank Ernie Cruz for sharing with us on this edition of Talk Story. Talk Story was recorded at New Boomer Music and the studios of Kauai Community Radio. Funding for this program was made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Talk Story is produced by Ken Ginelli, engineered and mastered by Jerry Brocklehurst. Ernie Cruz was interviewed by KKCR Hawaiian music programmer Linda Lester. For more information about KKCR's Talk Story, visit kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Aloha.